Points of Entry. One of the many touching things I've discovered about the spirit mind in my decades of doing regressive hypnosis is its eagerness to release its pain. It will go wherever it needs to go, with me or without me, no matter how long it takes to expose any embedded thorns that have been causing discomfort for too long. And once those thorns are revealed, where the sunlight and air of the conscious mind can reach them, the healing is almost instantaneous. I'll call the client Mr. A. He was from New Orleans, and he'd flown all this way for help with what he described as a sheer terror of being alone. He'd structured his life in such a way that it rarely happened, but when it did, when he was by himself for more than just a brief time, he'd be overwhelmed by a feeling of having done something horribly wrong beyond his ability to atone for it. I don't lead my clients during a regressive hypnosis. They lead me, with only the most occasional objective questions from me. So within minutes of his arrival in my office, I simply asked, "How do you feel?" I wasn't prepared for what he said. "Desolate." "Where are you?" "Peru," he said. So much for a long-winded tour of home. He'd already leapt to another life. "What are you doing in Peru?" On which he began sobbing. I kept repeating, "Go to the observant position. What you're feeling isn't happening now. It's in another life. We'll get rid of it so it can't hurt you again. Observe it. Just watch it and tell me what you see." My spirit guide, Francine, never interferes with my readings or hypnosis sessions, but she stopped by just long enough to cue what came out of my mouth next. I didn't know what it meant, but if it would help calm him down, I didn't care. Quoting her, I said, "Go to your point of entry." It was as if I'd hit a fast-forward button. He became focused and objective, and the words almost spilled out of him. "My wife and son were killed. It was my fault. My mistress killed them to punish me for refusing to leave them. I was responsible for the death of my family. As far as I was concerned, I'd forfeited my right to another moment of happiness. So I disappeared to the mountains where no one knew me and tended sheep in exchange for a place to sleep. And I died of exposure there. I never did ask God to forgive me. I couldn't imagine why he'd even want to hear the sound of my voice." No wonder the poor man associated solitude with punishment, and what an awful burden for him to carry without knowing where it came from. As you heard in the cell memory section, it's because of unresolved wounds from past lives connected to our bodies through cell memory that we react to those wounds as if they've just now been inflicted. Hands down, though, the eye-opener of the day for me was this point of entry business. Francine told me later that the point of entry is simply the moment at which the event or events happened that created the painful cell memory to begin with. I couldn't believe it. A way for clients struggling with a specific issue to jump to its cause without spending half our session or more wading through past lives that aren't even relevant to the problem at hand sounded too good to be true. I just had one hesitation, and I shared it with Francine. What are the odds of my clients even knowing what point of entry means when they hear it? I didn't. She simply replied, "You didn't need to. It's for them." That was almost 20 years ago. And I will swear to this, without exception, every regressive hypnosis client since, when I've asked them to tell me their point of entry, has known exactly what I was talking about and skipped to the relevant lifetime and the relevant event in the blink of an eye. Out of curiosity, I tried asking a few awake clients to tell me about their point of entry, and without exception, they all said, "What's that?" Just more of that insider spirit vocabulary, I guess, that will all come rushing back to us as soon as we get back home.